21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Zoe Hieronymus.
Welcome to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. Laura Kortner is our executive producer, and Kristen Hagrick runs our board. When I want to know what's going on the GMO front, I read a specific newsletter called Organic Bites of the Organic Consumers Organization. When I want to know what's happening in legislation regarding our food supply and access to organically produced products, I read Organic Bites. I trust their research, and they collect stories from around the world, but with a focus on our nation and what's going on to protect our organic farms, to eliminate poisonous chemicals and products from the grocery store shelf, and to enhance all life with healthy foods and healthy farming practices as well. They highlight government corruption at the expense we see of we the people. I hate to say it, but that's the way it seems to go down, and we'll talk about that and what's happened with the Farm Bill and Monsanto. And if you go to www.zoharaonline.com, you'll see a new posting that Whole Foods put together that shows us what our grocery store would look like if we lose our pollinators, the bees. And when you go to zoharaonline.com, you'll see all kinds of things about fighting Monsanto and fighting fracking and saving the bees and all good things that the wonderful Organic Consumers supports nationally. Thank you for joining us, Catherine Paul.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And you are the editor of Food Safety Alert, is that right?
I'm the editor of Organic Bites and of most everything that we put out in the newsletter.
Well, Catherine Paul, I owe you a lot, a lot of gratitude. Thank you. You do a beautiful job of pulling together research papers and current events and I think facts that people would be surprised to hear about. How long have you been doing this?
I've been with the Organic Consumers for going on 2 years now, but I've been, you know, in the field and doing editing and research for a long time. So I'm fairly new overall, given the organization's been around for a long time.
Well, the Organic Consumers Association really does represent millions of us in this country. And so it's interesting to me to see such a strong online presence, and that's why I want to promote it. And folks, again, it's www.organicconsumers.org, and Catherine Paul is with us. She's their editor. So I want to talk first about the Farm Bill and Monsanto and GMOs. So if you could start by just giving our audience, who still might not be fully up to date, what GMOs are and why so many of us are so active in trying to stop its continuing spread in agriculture.
Well, GMOs, genetically modified organisms, were introduced into our food supply in the early 90s. And they were introduced without any real adequate independent safety testing, which is remarkable in and of itself, but not surprising given that the person who made that decision was a former Monsanto employee, Michael Taylor. So that started a long history of this revolving door between Monsanto and the biotech industry and the FDA and USDA. So in the United States, unlike other countries, we've just given the biotech industry a free pass to basically experiment on us with genetically modified organisms. And this is a case where we're creating foods or so-called foods that would never, ever happen in nature. We're manipulating DNA. We're suppressing enzymes and so forth in plants, and we have good science and scientific research that shows that those manipulation passes through our digestive systems into our bloodstreams, and so we don't know what enzymes are being suppressed in our own bodies. We don't really know the long-term effects of these genetically modified organisms because we don't have good studies.
But the studies we do have on the animal population already shows us that it causes fertility damage and liver damage and immune suppression damage. I mean, so we know at least from the research that has been done on a population that's been subject to it as feed, that it's very harmful. And there's a lot of suspicion in some of the childhood illnesses today being connected somehow or other to the amount of GMO that's in every snack food and baby food and candy. I mean, it's everywhere. Unless a product says, you know, non-GMO, you have no way of knowing what's in it.
That's exactly right. You have to really look for USDA organic certified, because GMOs are not allowed in certified organic products. Or if you have a non-organic product where someone has certified that it's GMO-free.
Right.
But yes, we've seen instances of allergies, autism rise, immune disease rise tremendously since the 90s when these foods have been introduced. And the problem is that while the biotech industry says, well, look, there's no evidence that these GMOs are causing health problems, the fact is we can't trace and test if we don't know exactly where we are. We can't even do that research after the fact. You can't trace an illness back to a GMO if you don't necessarily know where it is or that you're consuming it. So it's insidious.
Well, and yet it's so interesting because other nations have outlawed GMO crop from this country being sent in. But I understand if you would address, there are certain things that I don't do that well at anymore on my own because I don't have the time to read the bills. But there was the farm bill got passed, and that evidently was not good for the U.S. consumer. And now there's some concerns about another trade law going on. So first, let's talk about the farm bill. What happened with that?
Well, a number of things Monsanto related in the farm bill. And the farm bill hasn't been officially voted on yet, so it still is a work in progress. It may pass this week, it may not. But one of the things, we were concerned about a number of things. One of them was back before the farm bill, back in March, when the government, Congress passed the continuing resolution to help us avoid, you know, a budget problem. It was a last-minute piece of legislation. Monsanto and a Senator Roy Blunt from Missouri, actually, Monsanto's home state, managed to sneak into that continuing resolution something that we've since called the Monsanto Protection Act, which basically gives Monsanto immunity from federal prosecution for growing illegally untested, unproven, unapproved GMO crops. That got snuck into the continuing resolution, and so it's law. However, the continuing resolution expires September 30th, so we're fighting desperately to make sure that the Monsanto Protection Act is not renewed. Which brings us to the farm bill. Senator Jeff Merkley had introduced an amendment to the farm bill that would have killed the Monsanto Protection Act. And that did not pass. It didn't even get a vote. However, the Ag Committee chairwoman, Senator Debbie Stabenow, has promised that she will have a vote on September 30th to not renew it. But so it's still live and well.
And of course, one of the problems is Monsanto, an
amazing free pass from prosecution.
Well, of course, not only not prosecution, but I've covered over the years some of the things that happen when a farmer's crop gets contaminated and Monsanto then claims it owns it. It's kind of a form of terrorism in my mind. But when you look at this, what's going on is obviously insane to any sane person. It's crazy that you can introduce food products into the system that have never been tested for their safety or their efficacy. And farmers who bought into some of the GMO language find out in the farm that it wasn't true at all, that the soybeans and things died more and weeds eventually take over and they're not immune to Roundup and all these other kinds of strange genetic engineering. But I'd like to know about this new European Union U.S. free trade agreement that everybody says is opening the door for more GMO.
Yes, there are two trade agreements being negotiated, one with the European Union and then with a Pacific Rim countries. And, you know, Europe has, well, 62 countries have either banned or required mandatory labeling of GMOs. The U.S. is the only country that just allows these things to be everywhere in our food, growing, I mean, 90% of our corn and soy and so forth. So the problem with this European trade agreement, or with all of these trade agreements, is that they're basically going to require any participating country to sort of to abide by the lowest standards of all the participating countries. And so it's a lowest common denominator sort of agreement, which just opens the door for all kinds of problems. It opens the door for importing seafood into the U.S. that doesn't meet U.S. standards, and it opens the door for imports of GMOs into Europe, forces them to lower their standards to U.S. standards.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. It's
an incredible agreement. It's being done in secret with only corporations having access to the negotiating text. Congress isn't allowed to see them. The public isn't allowed to see them. And then the Obama administration wants to fast-track it, which means Congress will have to be forced to vote on it with no debate, no opportunities to do amendments, nothing, just to shove it through, both of those trade agreements. And they're really...
You know, it's
they
so interesting.
Really, completely subvert the democratic process. They take away all the checks and balances, and they leave the public out. They leave Congress out. It's going to be totally written by corporations, so that companies like Monsanto, all the agribusiness companies.
Well, and if anybody thinks this is minor, I mean, it really gives Monsanto the right to control who can eat and who can't eat. Because, folks, if you have GMOs, it's not reproducing seed. So a farmer would have to keep buying seed every year from the Monsanto or some other corporation. And a farmer, once their fields are contaminated, can't save seed to replant. So think about the billions of farmers around the world who do this every season. And that's how we continue with ongoing farming around the world. So it's not just a little thing. This has...
It's
so evil as to be disbelieved that you could have companies controlling whether or not anybody has food, and then the food you have isn't even healthy. One of the things, though, has been the effort, and Maine's House just gave a nod to GMO labeling bill, that states have been trying to get the right to superimpose their own labeling laws. And how has that movement fared across the country?
Well, it's been an interesting process. If you go back to last year, we did a huge push around Proposition 37 in California, and that was a citizens' ballot initiative. And we had high hopes that we would win it. We had huge public support. At the last minute, we lost by about 1% because the food manufacturers and the biotech industry spent nearly $46 million to defeat that. And we raised $8 million, which was a lot, but it wasn't enough to win it. But we've moved on. Washington State now has a similar ballot initiative that voters will vote on in November, and it's looking very good there. In the meantime, Connecticut and Maine, the legislators there have passed GMO labeling laws. They have triggers in them, which require three or four other states to pass similar laws before they can take effect. So they're not perfect, but they are the first laws to have been passed. So it's a start. With 90% of the public, it's bipartisan support. People want to know what's in their food.
Absolutely.
90% public support, but legislators don't want to fight Monsanto. Monsanto lobbyists spent in 2012 $6 million lobbying against GMO labeling and for their things like their Monsanto Protection Act. Monsanto alone spent $8 million to defeat Prop 37. And when you look at the amounts of money they're willing to spend in order to keep the public from having the same right that citizens in 60 other countries have, and to keep their control of farmers and control of the seed, you can only imagine what kind of profits they're making from this.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the horror of it is it's not good food. I mean, it'd be one thing if this were corporate world dominance and what they were giving everybody was wonderful product, but it's not. It's poisonous. It's harming the animals that eat it. We then eat the animals. Then we eat the wheat and the corn and the soybean. And most people have no idea that what they're ingesting is a genetically modified product that has never been tested for safety and never been tested for its nutritious value. It was just really about corporate profit. And to think that's where we are, you know, Catherine, I know you're not 20 years old either. And when I look, I'm 60 now. When I think of where I started in 1965, you know, working at Galt Acid Rain, what the situation we have now is so global and so much worse than anything I think most of us could have imagined when we began this work.
No, I don't think people realize the scope of it or, well, a lot of people do. Again, 90% of the people do want labels on their food. But one of the interesting things, we talk so much about the food, you know, the food not being good, but what we don't talk about are the tons of poison that are sprayed in order to grow these crops.
Yeah, exactly.
Glyphosate being the key ingredient in Roundup, and other ingredients that are similar to Agent Orange. And these poisons are sprayed and dumped, tons.
Yeah.
Tons and tons. And that's in our air, it's in our water, and it's in our soil. And once you destroy the bacteria in the soil, once you destroy your soil, whatever you grow in that soil is pretty worthless.
It's very true.
And the poisons, when you look at the, especially children and their sensitivity to these poisons, that are everywhere. They're everywhere because it takes tons, and it's taking more and more because the crops are growing resistant, and so you just have to increase the amount of poison, and then you have to increase their, you have to make them even more toxic. You have to come up with more and more and more toxic poisons to overcome the super weeds that result from the overuse of these. So we're poisoning the soil, air, and water in addition to growing bad food.
No question about it. I mean, I have a new book coming out, The Future of Human Consciousness, and there's a whole chapter on just this issue with biodynamic farming as the obvious antidote and what would help the whole world flourish in terms of growing enough food and reestablishing the biolife in the soil, which is an enormous problem worldwide, not just in this country. You cover a lot of different things as well, and I noticed that one of your recent stories is about cell phones and that things that the public might not know about.
I have to confess that I'm not an expert enough to speak to to your audience, so I would be hesitant to say too much about it, other than the fact that I've certainly over the years read that there's probably a lot going on with cell phones that corporations are making sure we don't know.
Yeah.
But I really can't speak to the details. Apologize for that.
That's all right. You know, I think that the challenge that we face now as consumers is so significant in this country. And to think years ago, I covered the NAFTA and the GATT, and I actually read those agreements. I was probably the only person in the world that read them. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, and I hosted a going out of nation sale one day at a mall. You know, but this is so serious. When these trade laws come by, I remember the anti-dumping laws, you know, about protecting our lettuce producers so that we had laws that we couldn't import Mexico's lettuce because they had too many pesticides. But when you say, as you said, that these new trade agreements would lower the quality of law to whatever the least common denominator is, it means that no matter what any nation wants for itself would be superseded by some sort of global agreement. Who are the bodies that will sign these agreements? Is this like a European Union, American, Eurasia? I mean, who's signing it?
Lots of countries. They expect there will be, well, one of the things with the Trans-Pacific Partnership specifically is that they have about 12 or 13 countries who would initially sign it, but they have this docking on clause in there that allows other countries to join on to it as time goes on. So, I mean, the problem is countries will find themselves being forced to sign on to it.
Well, I'll have to do some more research into it because I wonder how much of it is a promissory note of some sort of loan from the World Bank or some other organization, the IMF, something that comes along with signing. I mean, a lot of times you get poor nations to sign things by promising them something, even if it means surrendering their autonomy.
Yeah, I can't speak to that either.
Okay.
But and they're talking about just the Trans-Pacific Partnership alone affecting 40% of the world economy. Mm. These are big agreements. And they are, again, I mean, I can't emphasize this enough. Congress members have asked to see the negotiating text.
Well, it just doesn't seem possible to me.
The public is not allowed to see them. Only corporations.
It just seems impossible to me that Congress could permit kind of an executive dictatorship. I mean, it just doesn't even seem possible that a trade law could be passed without the Congress weighing in on it, just because the president...
It absolutely can, and then this
fast-track
process, which we have the Nixon presidency to thank for, has Congress abdicate all authority for these trade agreements to the executive branch.
You know, this president has been so disappointing.
The Obama administration wants to run these right through, ram them through,
it's
get them done by October.
It's extraordinary. It's only moments like this I think, well, maybe I should still be in radio covering politics. But it absolutely ate me up, burned me out. But it hasn't improved. And, you know, it reminds me, I covered the Clinton administration. And I found that when the Democrats come to town, and all of us think, oh, great for the environment, I found that that administration and this administration have been just as bad as any Republican administration. And in some ways worse, because people let their guard down. You know, they think, oh, these are friendly Democrats and they want a good, sustainable environment like the rest of us. But they don't. They're corporate lackeys.
They are corporate lackeys. I mean, this was my, I think, of all my disappointments with Obama. I mean, this just highlighted it for me. Utter lack of transparency. This is going to be a done deal written by corporations, signed by the executive branch, and nobody else is allowed in on it.
It seems impossible to me. You know, I would like to think that somebody in Congress will say, or somebody, you know, will point out that not only is it insane for the future of the nation and representative lawmaking and keeping, but it's not a precedent for autonomy for any nation. I mean, it's kind of like the corporatocracy will rule the world, exactly as prognosticators have predicted since the 1950s or 60s. That's a frightening reality.
And there have been Congress members pushing to see it. I believe like 140-some members of Congress said, you know, this isn't right. We want access to these texts. And so far, they've been denied.
Well, I'll have to follow up on this. You've really sort of piqued my interest in something that's worse than the last thing I looked at.
when you thought it couldn't get any worse.
Well,
exactly.
But that's the amazing thing to me. I mean, I interview a lot of activists and a lot of organizations, and all of us are pretty much saying the same thing. You have to just keep it out there. And I want to thank you, Catherine, for the work you all do at Organic Consumers. And ladies and gentlemen, go to www.organicconsumers.org. You can make a contribution of any kind. It will be helpful. And subscribe and become a reader, as I am, of Organic Bites. It's fantastic. Well, you do a great job, Catherine Paul, and thank Ronnie
and
everybody else for me.
Thank you. Well, thanks for your work, too, in your program.
You're welcome.